You were here Sunday, and you let us know we weren't able to get all of the books. Hopefully some of you who made that known got a book. I think there may be 25 people that asked for a book. We had about 16 that were able to get, but they're more on order. So if you have not already let us know, like if you were not here Sunday and you need a book, one per family, just let Johnny or I know, and then we'll take a new count. But let me say this. For Sunday, just read Genesis 1 and 2. Don't worry about the book. Just read Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and don't worry about the book. But if anyone did not let us know on Sunday, this past Sunday, let us know now, or let Johnny and I know after the class, and we'll get a new count. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And we'll begin discussing that at length as we go further in the lesson. But I would like to do some overview of what we covered on Sunday. We're beginning a four-year curriculum, studying through the Bible, the Old Testament in a couple years, the New Testament in a couple years. Our study in the book of Genesis this quarter will cover the first four points of a 17-point outline, a 17-period outline. And we'll be looking at this quarter in the book of Genesis, the events before the flood, such as the creation, the flood, the scattering of the people at the Tower of Babel, the lives of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And when we end the book of Genesis, we'll end it in the land of Egypt. And of course, there was a Pharaoh there that Joseph and his brethren had it good in Egypt, but there would arise a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. He would afflict the people. God would raise up Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, the Exodus. They didn't trust God fully. They sent spies into the land, didn't trust God fully. And so God had them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Then Joshua led the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. They took the land of Canaan. They didn't do everything that God wanted them to do. God left the enemy in the land, and he would afflict the people of Israel. They would cry out to God. And when over and over, God would raise up judges to help the people of Israel. They asked for a king. They had a king, the king Saul, David, and Solomon in the United Kingdom. In the days of Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the kingdom divided. There was the northern kingdom of Israel with Jeroboam, the southern kingdom of Judah with Rehoboam. Israel went into captivity with Assyria, left Judah alone. Judah finally went into captivity with Babylon. There was a remnant that returned to the land under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. There was a period between Malachi and the gospel accounts, a period of silence. Then when John the Baptist comes on the scene, we see him preparing the way for the Lord. The Lord is teaching the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see the life of Christ. We'll go into a study of the book of Acts in the early church. And we'll finish the book of Acts and look at the letters to the Christians. That'll be in the fourth year of the four-year study. Again, this quarter we're studying these first four periods of our 17-point outline. Bob and Sandra had a statement that I like the way that they put it. They said that the Bible is not a series of unconnected once-upon-a-time stories. It's the unfolding of a beautiful, eternal plan God made for the redemption of mankind. All the stories fit together to form one beautiful whole. And we looked at that beautiful plan of salvation last week. And just to summarize that, we looked at how that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. We sin. All have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, we see how that sin is what? It's a transgression of God's law. God gave Adam and Eve a law. They broke it. God gives us a law. When we broke it, we sinned. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. But God had an eternal plan to save man through Christ, to redeem man from his sins. He had an eternal plan. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Peter describes how that God foreordained before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world, the blood of Christ. Here's how God was planned to redeem man from his sins. And he planned that out, really through eternity. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, there's a picture there in that passage about, it describes Jesus, a Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. So really, it was a done deal. God had an eternal plan. He planned to use the blood of Christ to redeem man from his sins. He planned that out, and he was going to carry it out. He did. I think we see how that we can trust God, because we see that he did what he said he would do through his eternal plan. But in regard to the redemption of man from his sins, you know, we may look in the Old Testament and we may see Nathan telling David, God's put away your sin. We may look in Psalm 32 where David describes how that the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, and how that he confessed his sin to God and God forgave his sin. Paul quotes that in Romans chapter 4. Well, David, how could God do that? Jesus had not died yet. He is as good as dead. God planned it through eternity. He foreordained it. It was going to happen. You know, when, just give you an illustration. You know, when you go to the store, you're going to buy those milk and eggs and bacon, and maybe you slap down a credit card or a check. Maybe some young people don't know what a check is, might not even know what a credit card is. But you slap that down. The merchant doesn't say, well, buddy, where are you going with that stuff? You got to wait till that money hits my account before you take it out. No, you take it right then and there, don't you? It's as good as paid. The merchant gets it later. But God foreordained before the foundation of the world the blood of Christ. When Adam sinned, God had that plan already in place. Look at Romans chapter 3. In verse 25 with me, if you'd like. I'll read the verse. But in Romans 3, verse 25, speaking about Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. So Jesus' body was the means by which God was going to get the redemption done. God was going to use Jesus as the propitiation, the object to get that redemption, that forgiveness done. He was set forth to be a propitiation. Through faith in his blood, by faith we're saved. By grace, through faith we're saved. It's took faith into the old covenant, faith in the new, through faith in his blood. But here's the point. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So God could be declared righteous. God, how can you say to David, he's put away your sin? How can David say, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I confess my sin and God forgave it. How could God do that? He's declared righteous by the blood of Christ. Before the foundation of the world, it was as good as done. So just like that credit card, you lay it down, it's as good as done. You carry the groceries out of the store then. The merchant gets paid. The blood of Christ may not have literally happened until the cross. But here was God's eternal plan. It wasn't just simply an afterthought. Oh, now what do I do? Adam and Eve sinned. What's going to happen now? No, God planned it. So Adam sinned. We sinned. God had an eternal plan to save man. Remember also the seed promise to Abraham. In Genesis 22, verses 15, in that context, when Abraham offered his son, God said, because you've obeyed my voice, I'm going to bless the whole world through your seed. We know from Galatians 3, that seed is Christ. And so that seed promise was given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus was that promised seed that was going to bless all nations. In Acts 3, beginning in verse 19, Peter described to those people, well, God's going to bless you. Just listen to that prophet that Moses foretold. Listen to him. You're the children that to whom God was speaking when he said, in thy seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God told Abraham he's going to bless all nations through the seed that was coming. You can be blessed. Just listen to that prophet. So here's that seed promise given to Abraham. Jesus was that promised seed. Jesus also would come and reign upon David's throne. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, angel Gabriel came to Mary, told her that you're going to have a son, Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. He's going to take the throne of David, and his kingdom will last forever. We can be a part of that kingdom. We can listen to that prophet just like they could. They were part of that kingdom. Colossians 1, the brethren at Colossae. We can be a part of that kingdom. We can go and live eternally with God and again have access to that tree of life in the end. Revelation 22, verse 14. Before we go on in the just beginning into the book of Genesis, anyone have a comment or question they'd like to ask? Just a simple outline of the book of Genesis, the first 11 chapters, we'll see the creation, the flood, and the scattering of the people at Babel. In Genesis 12 on, we'll look at the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Again, I want to mention that I've taken some things from Jeff Smith, taught the class last quarter in the Foundations class. I used some of his theme and some of his charts, very good class that he had. And so Johnny and I will be teaching this class in Genesis, alternating. And again, I want to say I appreciate Johnny. And I'm thankful and glad to be teaching with Johnny. I appreciate his respect for the Word of God. But Jeff had a slide that I thought was very, very good. When we begin looking at the days of creation, the first 6 days of creation, God, we'll see kind of a pattern to that. God makes an announcement. The Bible makes an announcement. It says, God said, and then we see the command, let there be, like let there be light. And we see a report of that commandment. God says, it was so, let there be light, and it was so. We see an evaluation of that command. God looks at it, it is good. And we see a time framework. The evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, and so on. So generally speaking, we'll see that type of format in these 6 days of creation that we'll look at. Now let's get into Genesis chapter 1, the first couple of verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In the beginning, God. You know, at one time there was only God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In John chapter 1, I want us to see that the Father and Jesus are both God. In other words, what I mean by that, what I believe the Bible means by that, is that they're a deity. In John chapter 1, in these first few verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here's the Word, Jesus. He was with God, the Father, and He was God. He was deity. So Jesus and the Father are deity. Oneness Pentecostals may say they're the same. The Watchtower Witnesses may say that Jesus was created. But here we see in this passage, the Word was God. He was not the Father, but He was deity. He was with the Father, but He was deity. And all things were made by Him. Verse 3. The Spirit is God. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. In Acts chapter 5, remember how that Ananias and Sapphira lied about how much they sold the land for? And as Peter was talking to them, he told them in verse 3, Peter, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And he says at the end of verse 4, you've not lied unto men, but unto God. When you lied to the Holy Spirit, you lied to God. So here's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They're all God. In other words, they're all deity. And Jesus was the... God used Jesus to create all things. In Colossians chapter 1, there's some interesting statements in Colossians chapter 1 about Jesus, the Creator. Beginning in verse 15. speaking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, it's not firstborn in time, but I believe he's talking about Jesus is preeminent above everything. I've got some passages on the board if you'd like to look at those. Back in Genesis 48, remember when Jacob was blessing the sons of Joseph? He swapped it around. Instead of, you know, Manasseh was older than Ephraim. But he said, oh, Manasseh will be great, but Ephraim will be greater. And he gave Ephraim the preeminence over Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh was firstborn in time. Ephraim was firstborn in preeminence. And God used that type of language in Jeremiah 31, verse 9, where he spoke of Ephraim, my firstborn. So here's the one who had the preeminence. So, no, we've already seen in John chapter 1 that Jesus was God. He was deity. He wasn't created. He was deity just like the Father was deity. So he's the firstborn of every creature. He's preeminent above it all because he created it. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. So God, Jesus made everything, the angels, us, the worlds, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We'll notice that phrase again in a moment. But so he created, in the beginning, he created heaven and earth. He created the distant heaven with the stars and planets. You look back in Genesis 1, verses 14 to 16, the sun, the moon, the stars. God created that. Those bodies in that heaven. He created the lower heaven with the clouds. In verses 6 and 7, he parted. We see the seas from the clouds. And there's the sky. So he created that heaven. He created earth for man. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul, in the city of Athens, Greece, beginning in the context of verse 16, but we'll jump down to verse 23. You can see that whole conversation, that whole statement there. But in verse 23, Paul said, "For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found to the an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein." It says in verse 26, "He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And in verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." So he made the earth for man. He made the world and everything in it. He gives to all life and breath and all things. Back there in Colossians 1, verse 17, that we mentioned a moment ago, in him or by him all things consist. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, let me turn over there and make a comment from that verse about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So Jesus, God, upholds all things by the word of his power. In him all things consist. You know, why does our heart beat within us? Why do our bodies hold together? All that planetary motion and gravity, how does it all work? In him all things consist. And he holds everything together because he said, this is how it's going to work. By his word he commanded, and all of it does what he said it would do. It all consists and holds together by his word. I want us to see the power of the word of God. In Psalm 148, we won't read all of that passage, but in Psalm 148, in the first five verses, notice how that it speaks about how that God is calling upon all of these different things to praise him, whether it be his angels, his hosts, the sun, the moon, stars, the heavens, the heaven of heavens, you waters that are above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So God said, let there be, and it was so. He commanded the power of the word of God. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, I want to notice something in this verse, and then I'll look at a slide from NASA. Some interesting comments there. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, "For by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. So here is the host of heaven. You know, so here's heaven and earth, yes, but there's the host of heaven. You look up and see the stars and the planets, all of that, the host of heaven God made. Hebrews 11, verse 3, one more verse before we go to that slide. Hebrews 11, 3, through faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the Word of God. So you see the power of the Word of God. He spoke, and all of the host of heaven were there. He framed it all of that planetary motion, all that gravity, all of that mass, all of that expanse. He framed it with His Word. On solarsystem.nasa.gov, let me just read a paragraph there, a few paragraphs. The planetary system we call home is located in an outer spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy. Our solar system consists of our star, the sun, and everything bound to it by gravity. The planets Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, dwarf planets such as Pluto, dozens of moons, and millions of asteroids, comets, and meteoroids. Beyond our own solar system, there are more planets than stars in the night sky. So far, we have discovered thousands of planetary systems. You know, here's our solar system. Well, they've discovered thousands of planetary systems orbiting other stars in the Milky Way galaxy, with more planets being found. Most of the hundreds of billions of stars in our galaxy are thought to have planets of their own, and the Milky Way is but one of perhaps, and of course here's the perhaps, 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Just omit that thought for a moment, but just think about looking up there, and they've discovered thousands of planetary systems. Here are the host of heaven that God created by commandment. He's upholding it all with the word of His power. It's all moving and existing and staying in its place, and we can time things because of the way God, in His wisdom, put it in place. He framed the worlds with His word. You know, I was thinking of an illustration to help us to understand our ability to trust in God just by the things that we see, by the things that are made. We can understand God and His power. You know, there was a man in the gospel accounts that said to Jesus, you know, here was a healing that needed to be done. And he said, Lord, if you can do anything, you know, help my son. And Jesus said, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And he said, Lord, help my belief. And I believe Jesus helped him because he worked a miracle right there in front of him. I believe he answered that request for help. But let me just give you an illustration of something. Say you were going to have let's imagine a conversation with God. And, you know, you're wringing your hands and you say, Lord, you know, I've got these problems in my life. You know, can you help me? And, you know, I do pray, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, but, you know, you say, you know, Lord, I've got these problems in my life. Can you help me? And he said, son, you know, do you know how small you feel when you say you look over a canyon and you see the expanse of that canyon? Oh, yeah, Lord, I know. I feel pretty small. Or maybe you're on a rolling sea and you see the horizon of water all around you. Oh, you feel mighty small. Or maybe you're in a plane and you look down at the earth and you see the horizon of the earth, oh, pretty small, and you understand how weak you are. Like if you were just to fall, you're just flesh and blood. Here's this mass of all of these things on earth. Yeah, I understand, Lord, I'm pretty small. I'm just a speck on this earth. Well, son, look up. You know, all of those thousands of solar systems up there. You see those? Well, no, Lord, I can't. Oh, I know you can't see them. They're there. I made them. I spoke them into existence. You know, all of those, you know, if it's just maybe one other galaxy, just a fraction of what they might say that there is or postulate there is, you know, thousands of planetary systems, all of that expanse, all of that force, all of that weight, and we're just a speck on the earth, we wouldn't even be counted as a speck in the solar system, really, would we? Or the galaxy. Less than a speck. And the Lord says, you know, in the beginning, I made all of that. And he turns to his son, you know, what was your question? Can I do what? You know, can I? You know, I spoke all of this thing into existence. You can see how small you are even on the earth, let alone in a galaxy. And I spoke all of that into existence. We can trust the Lord. We can see the power. Can we not see the power of His Word? Help our unbelief. Look at what He made. You know, earth began with His Word, and it'll end with His Word. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, we see that. He spoke it into existence. He'll speak it out of existence with His Word. Can He help us? Just speaking something, and it appears from nothing. Hebrews chapter 11, out of nothing the things were made. He created the light. And back in Genesis chapter 1, let's get back to our text there. So he spoke heaven and earth into existence. Verse 3, let's see. Verse 3, and God said, well, let me make sure I've lost my place here. In verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. See, later on in verses 14 through 16, He made the stars, the sun, the moon, and the stars to give the light. I might kid by saying He made the light and then He backfilled it with the planets that emit that light. But, or, you know, back in the day when PE with Coach Merle, you know, we'd have relay races in the gym. And so, you know, we'd have that baton and then we'd hand it off to somebody. You know, so God made the light and then He handed the baton off to the planets that He made to continue on with the light. But here He said, let there be light. And then later He made planets to emit light. The evening and the morning were the first day. 24-hour period. You know, back in a long time ago, in my late teens, early 20s, you know, I would hear and read a lot of discussion between different camps. You know, here were men with names like Custance or Clayton or Thompson or Jackson. You know, they were discussing gaps and things in the account of the book of Genesis. Maybe like a Genesis between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis, you know, there's a big gap of time, you know, and maybe God remade things or whatever. Or maybe there are gaps between the days, or maybe the days were eons of time, things like that. And hopefully, But I want us to understand, like, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, Adam was the first man. No, God, there wasn't a race of men, and then God remade everything and made it up. No, Adam was the first man. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 6, Jesus said that God made them male and female, Adam and Eve, He made them male and female from the beginning of the creation. So here's the creation, sun, moon, stars, man, all of that. Here's from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. There weren't eons of time before that. It was at the beginning. You wouldn't call it the beginning if there were eons of time before that. No, He said from the beginning of the creation, He made them male and female. No, I want us to understand not only the power of the Word of God, but the need to trust what God said. We don't need to fabricate a theory to try to curve fit the Bible to the geological time scale or whatever. Just believe the Word of God. Look at Exodus chapter 20. What about the days? What about gaps of time? Let me read a passage here and then illustrate it with an idea. In Exodus 20, as Moses was talking to Israel and he was telling them, you know, you need to work 6 days and on the seventh day you rest. He said, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. And then in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Now, so what is Moses doing? What is he's telling Israel to work 6 days, rest the seventh, illustrating it how? God worked 6 days, rested the seventh. Now what if, just imagine, and I'm just kidding, of course, but just imagine Moses walking through the camp of Israel and he sees someone and said, son, why aren't you working? You know, I said, 6 days you work, seventh day you rest. Why, son, why aren't you working? Well, Moses, don't you remember back in the beginning? You know, we don't know whether there was this gap of time before the day started. And so I've got a gap of time before I start my first day of work. Or maybe he saw someone else working on the Sabbath. Well, Lord, don't you know that days were eons of time? And I thought I'd make my day 6 weeks long. So I'm going to work for 6 weeks. 6 weeks. Each of my days will be 6 weeks. And then my seventh day will be a week long. What would Moses have thought about that? Son, don't you understand plain language? In 6 days you work, rest the seventh. God made the earth in 6 days, rest the seventh. What if Israel had tried to stuff gaps of time in between the week or make the days eons long? It wouldn't make any sense, would it? No, we can understand the Word of God just like they understood the Word of God. They didn't have to wonder what Moses meant. You people of Israel, work 6 days, rest the seventh. God worked 6 days, rest of the seventh. In 6 days, He made heaven and earth. He created light. He created the days. He created these things, and He said, the evening and the morning were the first day. You know, talk to someone, well, let's go to breakfast in the morning. Come over to supper in the evening. We understand what a morning and evening are. And evening and the morning were the first day. For in 6 days He made heaven and earth. Understand the power of the Word of God. And I think my batteries went out on the clicker. It did. If you could advance the slide for me, if you're able. And one more. Thank you. Thinking about the power of the Word of God, we can understand the power of the Word of God from what He said. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God's Word is from God, not man. I'd like to make a point on this, that about understanding the Word of God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul speaks about, in that letter, how they could understand when they read His gospel. We can understand the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. When God wrote Genesis, when He wrote the prophets, when He wrote the gospel accounts, when He wrote the epistles, God just didn't oversee things. The words that we have, they were inspired by God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, tells us how that God moved the prophets to say what they said. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God didn't just simply oversee what they wrote, but He moved them to say what they said. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Scriptures that we have, God breathed those Scriptures. He inspired those men. He breathed into them the Scriptures, the Word of God. He moved them to write it. He breathed into them the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 12 and 13, I think we're about out of time, so we won't take time to read that, but he speaks here about how that God spoke, they wrote what God spoke, not in words which man's wisdom taught, but which the Holy Spirit taught. So the Holy Spirit taught them in words. So we have what we have written, or the things that God moved people to write. He inspired them to write these Scriptures. He moved them to speak these words. We have the Word of God. We can trust it. Oh, I forgot. This doesn't work. If you could advance the slide. Thank you. In Genesis 1, verses 6 through 8, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So here we have, I'd say, the seas and then the clouds and then the sky separating those two waters. Here we have the second day. The first day, the second day. Just another point, I had thought to mention this earlier, but you know, in that big discussion about all of these different theories that people have about creation, it's my understanding, like the Hebrew word yom for day, whenever it's used with a number, like prepended with a number, like the first day or whatever, it's always literal. Whenever you see the Hebrew word used in Scripture with a number, it's always literal. But we don't have to know that. We can just see, look at what God said, the evening and the morning of the first day, the second day. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Forgot that again. So just in summary, I think we're about out of time, just in a moment. But in summary, there is a God. Genesis 1 verse 1. God created heaven and earth and the worlds with His Word. In Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The things that we see were not made of things that do appear. They were made from nothing. God spoke all of that into existence from nothing. He created time. In Genesis 1 verses 5 and 8. He made, here's this first day and the second day, and here's these planets that He set in motion for to stand for days and years and so on. I'd like us to consider the power of the Word of God. He spoke it all into existence, and He upholds all things by the Word of His power. We have reason to trust God and believe what He says. Does anyone have any comment or question? Okay, for Sunday, don't worry about the workbooks. Just read Genesis 1 and 2. We'll have more on order, and they'll be here. But just read Genesis 1 and 2. And Johnny will take up, and we'll look at the rest of the days of creation. And we'll go in on into chapter 2 with the fall of man. And look at the uniting of man and woman in marriage. Thank you.